Our next speaker is Abdul Rahman Malik, editor of Q News. Abdul.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace and blessings be upon each and every one of you. My colleagues have spoken previously, have spoken most eloquently and most comprehensively. When I think about the last few years and the emergence of the Stop the War movement and the coalition, not just in the United Kingdom, but where I originally hail from in Canada, I think it is a remarkable story, and when the story is written, it will be one of the great stories of the 21st century. When we started the Stop the War movement in Toronto, Canada, those on the right, and I have to say most on the left, said that it wouldn't last. How could people from such divergent opinions and experiences maintain and, more importantly, sustain a movement that was not just about the attack on Afghanistan, that was not just about the invasion of Iraq, but what was about challenging in our time a global system that was committed to the worst kind of oppression and subjugation of people. They said that we wouldn't last, and they said it again and again and again. And today, all of you and those individuals who have been behind the scenes and in front of the scene have proven the naysayers absolutely wrong. We have survived, and we will continue to survive, and we're certainly not going away. And I think the remarkable thing about this movement has been its capacity to accept a whole range of divergent opinions and experiences under its broad umbrella. And I'll begin my comments this afternoon by saying that we cannot lose sight of that, that amongst our ranks we will find different shades of opinion. We will find people who will vehemently disagree with each other, who, if this movement wasn't here, wouldn't even sit in the same room with each other, let alone know each other. But the fact is that we all feel so strongly and so passionately and believe in certain basic common principles. And those common principles are the ones we have to adhere to. And we cannot allow ourselves internally, because we have faced this struggle in Canada and in North America, and I believe we are facing it here as well, that we cannot allow ourselves to become rigid and to become narrow-minded within the movement. The movement itself must be broad and inclusive. And that means that there has to be different levels of engagement. And that means that our doors have to be absolutely wide open for those who just quite, they're not there yet. They're perhaps not with us yet, but they want to be with us. We need to give them reason to be with us. And if we're going to attack this disease of Islamophobia, then it's going to have to be done under the widest possible umbrella, with the most inclusive message, with the most welcoming language, and with the most dynamic vision. And democracy, and together, I agree. So I think, in a way, Jack Straw in these last few weeks has done us all a favor. We already knew the veneer of tolerance was slipping. We knew that it was falling away slowly but surely. We know that in the media our pundits and columnists are allowed to say things that perhaps would not have been respectable, or at the very least polite or appropriate, just a few years ago. So in a way, for all of Jack's stupidity, I would say thank you, Jack Straw. Thank you for creating the conditions for us to see how intolerant our elite, our intelligentsia, has actually become. And if we are witnessing the end of this public form of tolerance, then for us this is a profound measure of the amount of work that we have to do. In preparing for today, over the last few days, I've been listening to field recordings from the civil rights movement, from Birmingham and Selma, Alabama. I've been listening to people like Medgar Evers and Martin Luther King and others in these amazing recordings that are crackly and sometimes you can't hear them very well. And one of the songs of the civil rights movement, which many of you will know, was called Eyes on the Prize. And we all know the words. If there was one thing we did right, it was the day that we started to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize, O Lord. I think that when we think about the topic today, which is resisting and confronting Islamophobia, we have to keep our eyes on the prize. But we have to know what that prize is. The truth is that the whole debate and discussion, I would say the pathology and the obsession with the Muslim presence in the United Kingdom and Europe and beyond, is really more about Europe and Britain's own pathologies, its own identity crisis. It doesn't know who it is. No one can define values. No one can define what we are supposed to be integrating into. The fact is that the robust, strong, diverse, loud, vocal, profound presence of Muslim communities in Europe really screwed things up for the intelligentsia and the elite. Just at a time when everyone was saying the end of history was upon us, global Islam shows up, upsets the apple cart, sideswipes the wedding cake, and since we don't drink, we also stole the champagne. We have become such a, as Muslim communities, such a powerful demographic force that in a way, the very presence of Muslims is reshaping the whole way we look at society. No longer are we divided into petty racial or ethnic camps or ideational camps. The fact is that we are in a wide open space, a kind of a post-secular society, where everyone is staking claims to the public square. And what the amazing thing that this movement has done and must continue to do is allow the greatest number of people to stake their claim, their rightful claim, to the public square, to stake their rightful claim to public discourse and to be heard. But we, as a movement, in all our various forms and shades of opinion, must at least give some sort of vision. And that's the prize. If we're going to have our eyes on the prize, then we have to tell people, not in negatives, but in positives, what is the prize? What are we at risk of losing if we continue down this ridiculous, dangerous path? And what will we gain and what will we win if we head down this great path that we are on, this struggle that we are on? We need to state positively what our societies will look like, how citizens will participate. What does participatory democracy really mean? Because those words in most circles are now passé. People don't talk about that anymore. But we need to give people a vision of a society 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road where my kids will be growing up, hopefully not dealing with this crap and this nonsense that we have to deal with. If I think that my kids are going to have to deal with what we're dealing with, it's so depressing that I might as well go home, lock the door, and never see anyone again. We can't have it that way. We need to be giving something positive. And I think the challenge before us today, and in the work that you are all engaged in, is that we must give a vision. We must describe in real terms what this society that we want to build and we want to facilitate, what it will look like. I see the note. The last point that I'll make is that as much as we criticize the hysterics of others, we cannot allow ourselves to head down that road, as easy as it may be. Instead, I'd like to take a page from the book which I hold sacred, the Quran. And I'll close off by saying that there's a wonderful allegory in the Quran, which I, as a journalist, need to constantly remind myself of. And that's the allegory of Moses and the Pharaoh. In the Quran, it's one of the greatest stories, isn't it? Those who are Muslims in the audience know that. Those who are Christians or Jews and connect with their sacred texts will know that. That there's something remarkable about Moses, who has an impediment in his speech, who's nervous, who's not quite confident, as the Quran tells us. And God says, take your brother with you to give you strength before the Pharaoh. And so when they approach the Pharaoh and they begin this amazing dialogue of truth against falsehood, of righteousness against iniquity, against godliness versus this tyranny of the Pharaoh says, well, I can do everything that your God can do. And he gets his sorcerers, his magicians. And we know there's many sorcerers and magicians out there today with lots of tricks up their sleeves and around their sleeves and in their pants. And they pull, and the sorcerers come. And what do? They take their staffs and they throw them down. And they become serpents and they writhe around Moses. The weak-hearted would have been fearful, would have taken a step back from all of that. But Moses confidently takes out his staff and throws it down. And it becomes what we would say is the real deal. The serpent that will kill all the other serpents, that swallows them, that leaves the magicians agape and awed at the power of Moses, upon whom be peace. We together hold the staff of Moses. We together must have such a powerful message, such a powerful message that tells the truth, that tells the real deal, that is so absolutely, incontrovertibly true, that we will attack and swallow up all these other magicians who claim to hold the truth and who claim to dazzle us. Islamophobia, in my opinion, is not racism. Islamophobia stands alongside racism as one of the great modern-day inequities and prejudices. It is insidious. And today we are seeing a kind of a modern-day McCarthyism, where belief and heartfelt belief and those who choose to act on belief is unnerving people to such an extent that those people are now under the gun. I say to you today that we need us to be truth tellers, to go out into our own communities, to our neighbors who many of us don't talk to our fellow students who we pass and do not know in the hallways of our schools, to our colleagues in the workplace, because that's where the change is going to happen. I believe that the vast majority of people out there are not only good-natured, but are fair-minded, because that's hopefully the kind of society that we live in. And that's the kind of vision we need to present to our colleagues and our friends and those who we know and those who we don't know. And together, I believe we can do and set out the kind of important work that needs to be done that Yvonne and the rest of our colleagues have spoken about today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace and blessings.
Thanks very much, Abdul, for that fantastic speech.